This is the Roaring Elephant Podcast, and here I am with my co-host, my co-hostess with the mostess, co-host Jon.
Yeah, a couple of too many S's in there, I think. I mean, good thing that I'm very stable and comfortable with my identity. But I see what you did there, trying to subvert me when we're talking about a subject that I know so much more about than you.
I mean, that's just like most subjects. So,
oh God,
I'm used to it.
So my achievements were nothing. Okay. Fair enough. We're continuing our story from last week.
Indeed. Indeed we are. We started and didn't start at the same time because we went off on a tangent, but it was a fruitful tangent worth exploring, I think.
I think so too. I mean, time flew by, I hope, for us and our listeners equally. So, but yeah, let's get into the nitty gritty a bit more. Today, as we mentioned last time, we found a little PDF from the RAND Corporation out there called The Root Causes of Failure for Artificial Intelligence Projects and How They Succeed. And yes, the title doesn't work. Dave, we know this by now. If you don't know yet, listener, go to the previous episode. But we're going to be talking about avoiding the anti-patterns of AI, which I think is something people need to do more often. And that was a AI-generated sneeze by Dave without any sound.
Yeah, bless me. Right. So let's kind of dive in. And as usual, we're using this as a bit of inspiration to share our thoughts around the topics. But the first kind of failure situation, I don't know what they're calling
it. The first reason for failure.
There we go. Optimizing for the wrong business problem. Going back to our previous episode a little bit, like, this is not the first time we have seen this. The number of times, and this isn't unique to, AI projects. This is something we see in all kind of technology projects. People applying something to a situation that doesn't necessarily need that particular technology applied to it. Like the number of times we see a new technology coming forward and someone goes, ah, great, I can apply X, technology X, to problem Y, because technology X is the coolest, latest thing, and problem Y is a problem that I have to solve, and I will look cool if I use technology X to solve problem Y.
I mean, I solved a problem with a podcast by getting a co-host. See how that went.
Yeah, jury's still out on that, I think.
Anyway, yeah, you talked about the cool factor. Sure, I think there's a couple of reasons why people apply AI for something it shouldn't be there, and the cool factor is definitely one reason. And I'm just going to make a little note of the second reason, because otherwise I'm going to forget about it.
Oh, I fully agree. There are multiple reasons that people go down that route, for sure.
But the cool one is an important one. And it's a bit of a symptom, not a cause. Because people needing cool factors to make themselves feel important, useful, whatever, fill it in yourself, has to do with people not doing what they're supposed to be doing, or not doing something they're not really equipped to be doing, or have the background or knowledge or capabilities to do. And if you look at the PDF document, this is actually part of the leadership-driven issues. And I do think that managers in general are suffering from this. Now, there's a lot of good managers out there. I've had a lot of good managers. This is definitely not everybody. However, there are managers out there as well that are just these career managers that go from company to company every 6 months, every year, they're in a different company doing the same little song and dance again. And then they need something that they can kind of sell, make something of, where the other people don't know enough about to stop them. Now, if you're in manufacturing and you want to try to do this with something that's not artificial intelligence, for example, a different way of doing the conveyor belts or whatever, you're in a domain expert environment where if you spout something, you will be shut down because that doesn't work. Tech industry is very susceptible to this because technology goes so fast. I mean, I know a lot. I know a little bit if you look at it in the whole scope of whatever's out there. But it's very easy to bamboozle people in the technology world because it's a lot of big tech, complicated things, and a lot of people. I mean, we still don't know why we don't fall off this earth. I mean, we know gravity exists, how it works. We have no idea. That's just what it is. And if you can use things like AI and Gen AI and whatever, and the quantum, still loving that. It makes it easier for these people to use that to make them sound cool because everybody's talking about it's on the news. You can't escape it. And that guy apparently knows how the quantum or the AI works. And that, of course, means that they start applying this left, right, and center just to show how cool they are, but without any care of does it actually, is it required? Does it have a role, a function? Does it solve anything?
Yeah. I think the other point I would make, though, is that I don't think this is just a leadership failing, though. I think this is also a situation where you have people desperately wanting to play with the new cool, fun tech and therefore desperately want to apply this new thing that they've learned or this new thing they want to learn because they want to be in this cool, trendy space. Therefore, they want to apply this thing to whatever the problem is that's in front of them.
I don't think that's a cool factor. That's more of the, I want to be the knowledge expert and show people know, which, the thing that I just talked about earlier is about doing it from a point of ignorance, and this is from a point of knowledge, which I think is better, but still bad.
Yeah, but if you're still applying it to somewhere that it doesn't need to be applied to, yeah, you're still doing the right things out of the wrong intention or the wrong things out of the right intention. I don't know. Anyway, maybe
the right things with the right intention, but without any reason.
maybe. But it's this kind of situation where you've got, I think to me, what this boils down to is people applying a technology because they want to use that technology rather than because it's the best way to solve that particular problem, the most efficient way to solve that particular problem. And I think when we get to a situation where we just think that, well, like this will be easier or cooler or faster or whatever it is by just applying artificial intelligence, because everyone's applying artificial intelligence to everything. I think there's still a need to step back and actually look and say, well, is this the best way, or what is the best way to solve this problem without immediately jumping on the AI bandwagon?
That's a third reason. I want to go first back to the just doing it, because a lot of times engineers, if you're in the tech world and an engineering kind of style, you have to continue doing new things to stay abreast, because how do you know if this thing will work if you haven't played with it? I mean, long, long time ago when I was working with mainframes, you know, mini computers, I actually got scolded by my boss because he saw on my little workstation I was putting a lot of time in a program called Battleships. My goal was, I wanted to learn about network communication and having client-server things up. So I could have written a client-server application, but hey, Battleships, having two computers doing simple Battleship A1B, you know the thing. Simple use case, easy to do, but you have to learn the network stack. That's an example of why somebody who's developing something, who's creative, is trying to figure something out. The same thing is also happening with AI at the moment. Now, maybe not Battleship, because I think that's kind of been produced out already. But a lot of times an engineer builds something that's kind of cool and kind of quirky and hey, look at that bit. And somebody sees that, oh, we have put this in the product because this is AI, this is important. And that's how these things, I mean, if you look at a lot of products, not just software, but all kind of appliances that all have to have voice control, and it just doesn't make sense. I mean, a Bluetooth speaker with voice control makes no sense. Because when it's blasting music, it won't hear you. But again, somebody built that, so it had to go on there. And that's, I think, the second reason for me. Just, we have this AI thing, somebody built it, now we have to use it because it's AI. It's got to be good, right? The next thing you talked about was more about, I don't know what I'm doing, give me the savior of AI. Which is, for me, a different, third reason.
Yeah, I agree, it's different, yeah. Yeah. So, do we want to get into the kind of how people can get out of that, or do we want to?
I've got a couple more reasons why.
Go for it.
Get applied for wrong things. I mean, I want to continue on the one you ended with, the knowledge barrier, and that is exacerbated. Is that the right word? Made worse by the product vendors out there.
Exacerbated.
No, exasperated? Okay. Me, English speak, no good. Be glad I'm not Yoda. But a lot of vendors at the moment are pushing AI very, very much. And they make purchasers, customers, clients, consumers, that's what I'm looking for, believe that AI apparently is the end all of these things. And it's a bit of a self-fulfilling failure drain prophecy. Yeah, mixing two metaphors there, because if your competition is putting up big banner ads talking about how AI is making your product the best product out there, if you're a competing product, you kind of have to follow suit, because otherwise you're being seen as, oh, they're the old style company, we're going to go to the new style company, because they have the new hotness, the coolness, whatever. And this is kind of a rat race that people are falling over themselves, put more and more AI verbiage on everything. And in the end of the day, I have a problem somewhere. I go online. Everybody's talking about how AI is going to solve my problem. Okay, I'll guess I'm going to use AI then. Yeah. It's not an illogical reaction, but it's something that we've talked about this in the past already as well. It's about curation of your data, of your sources. I was going to say data sources, sorry, a little bit of everyday business creeping in there. But just data sources in general, if you go on the internet, look at who you're looking at, listening to, whatever, see where they're coming from, get opposing views. I mean, when I look for a new product, I always search on Google, Bing, whatever, doesn't matter, product name, problem, product name, issues with, problem thing not working. Because that usually, again, from what you said like last time, failures are so much more informative than success stories. So I don't search for blah, blah reviews. I bought a waffle iron. I didn't look for what's the best waffle iron. Well, I did that once just to see what the brands were a little bit. But then I searched for things like waffle iron is garbage, waffle iron doesn't work. But just to see what people think are important after they bought it. Because it looked shiny in the store, this AI thing is so shiny, so crystal ball-y, whatever. But once you put it on the dressing room table, it doesn't look right because sunlight comes in and it burns the rest of the house down because the whole lensing happens, things like that. And that's, I think, of all the problems we talked about, the one that's causing the most damage. Because the first one, I guess you can kind of see at the end that that's why these managers kind of hop from business to business. They've done the damage, but at least they I was going to say a bad word, which I can't say on a safe podcast, but they go somewhere else. The other two kind of, okay, at least you had some experience, you probably learned something internally and you can probably talk about it. But this one is one that's very hard to solve because it's from a point of ignorance and you can't expect everybody to know everything about AI. There are things in AI that are so fundamental that are never talked about. I mean, how many of our listeners, please send an email and tell me if you know this or not, but if you ask a neural network a question, you will never get the same answer twice. It's called the non-deterministic nature of neural networks. And people are asking neural networks if somebody should be sentenced to death or not today. Depending on the day, depending on the hour, you'll get yes or no. Hyperbola, exaggerating here for effect, obviously. Mm. But it is a problem that nobody talks about.
Yeah. So, do we want to talk about the kind of how to...
How would you... How to come on, deal, Dave. Mr. Dave, Professor Dave.
Solve
how
you these this? Challenges? Or do we want to talk about more...
No, more you tell me. Tell me. Come on. Educate me. Help me. Well, help me save the world.
I think it does come back to education. It does come back to looking critically at the problem that you're trying to solve and trying desperately to take yourself, the team, the group, you know, whoever we're talking about here, at least try and sidestep out of the reality distortion bubble for a minute and try and just look at the problem that you're trying to solve and look at it, like, what is the best way to solve this problem? And it might end up being actually the best way to solve this is generative AI or AI in some way, or like a relatively, you know, simple machine learning algorithm, or like, you know, maybe all you need is a simple rules engine. But try and not get immediately distracted by the new shiny. Try and embrace some of the basic fundamental principles of just problem solving and looking at problems and evaluating potential solutions, and try not to get, it's going to sound terrible, but basically try not to get swept up in the hype. I think when it comes to, I mean, so this is slightly different from, so the actual failure condition that was talked about is optimizing for the wrong business problem, which is slightly different to using the wrong technology to solve the business problem. And I think if you think back to actually optimizing for the wrong business problem, part of that is about making sure you understand not just how you're going to solve the problem, but actually make sure you understand the problem in the yes. first place. There are way too many times in my career where I've seen people, organizations, teams, like, get a quick grasp of something and then immediately dive in. And they're excited about what it is that they're going to build and do and solve, and the accolades they're going to receive, that kind of stuff. And they miss some fundamental pieces of the problem that they're trying to solve. And sure enough, you get several weeks, several months, I mean, some of these projects, several years into them, and then, like, only significantly further down the line do they realize, oh, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that was a part of the problem condition or the situation. We've designed something that can never work for this particular problem or can never be successful for this particular problem. And it sounds like ridiculously trivial, but basically making sure that you understand what the problem is that you're trying to solve before you try and solve it, I think is, to me at least, that's one of the fundamental ways that you can try not to fall into this trap.
For me, it's two words: project management. And project management has been hollowed out in the last decade because everything had to be agile and quick and no more waterfall, because doing a project plan that takes 5 years, that doesn't work. And that's true to some level, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't do project management. And the first thing in the project management is problem definition, success criteria, failure criteria. Mm. And especially in the hype world of AI, that goes out of the window, because a lot of the time it's more of a, we need to use AI, let's find the business problem that we can solve with it. And yeah, that is a recipe for, not just according to me, but according to the RAND organization, failure. Because that's not how this works. You use a hammer when you have a nail. You don't find a hammer and then go surfing around the world finding nails you can hit on. Would be a fun thing to do, I guess, but...
Yeah, that's a weird analogy, but okay.
Worked for me.
Fair enough.
Anyhow, with that, I think we're reaching time again. So unless you have any more wise words to...
I have no wise words.
No wise words left. Then that is all the time we have for today. You can become a patron. You can support this podcast there by giving us a little bit of contribution every month. That does really help. We are also on YouTube. You can see us talking instead of just hearing us talking. And you can also like and subscribe, notification bells. It's an adventure. Just go to YouTube and try it out. We also have our website at www.roaringalpha.org. There's links there to the Patreon page, YouTube page, more information about the podcast, information about us. And you can also send us email to podcast@roaringalpha.org. Let us know if you enjoy this this content, if you want us to continue this, because we apparently do like it. We're going to be talking about this stuff again next week. So just let us know what you think. Until next time, my name is Important Business Priority 1, Jon.
And my name is Understanding the Problem, Dave.
And we really look forward to talking to you next week and hear Dave explain the problem.
Or maybe we'll talk about something else. Who knows?
We will see. See you then.
Goodbye.
Yeah, I stole your words there.
You did. Damn you.